George Russell episode. Not being funny, if I was George Russell, probably be a little bit pissed off with it.
Why is that?
Because everyone's just there like, oh yeah, George is a bottle job. Yeah, George can't win anything under pressure. Oh yeah, no, George cracks under pressure.
Yeah, George cracks under pressure.
He's cracked under pressure again. Is it just me that does not get this from George Russell?
Can he really step up and lead that team?
Welcome along, everyone, to the first official episode of Box Box.
Yes!
That is us now. So, a lot of you would have been on the Racecast journey with us. Now, if you're new here and you've come from Box Box Club, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a second, welcome. I'm Luke. This is Matt. And we've been doing Formula One podcast for the last 3 years. We started back in 2022, the greatest season ever. made it through 2023, got blessed with 2024, and we have now partnered up with Box Box Club for the 2025 season, and we cannot be more excited to kick off everything. Obviously, this week we have Australia, like the F1 season is starting, right? And we are going to dive into that absolutely. But we should just say, check out the download link in the description below if you do want to get 30% off BoxBox Club Ultra subscription. It is home of the best F1 widgets app out there. It's unbelievable. You can get real-time updates. You get all your widgets. Do you know what? I'm going to show people. I've shown my lock screen before, right? Can you see this just up here? The little widgets? Sorry if you're listening, but for video viewers, you can see right there. That is a BoxBox Club widget. And honestly, I just think, as an F1 fan, it makes your phone feel like it's made for F1.
I think you feel more up to date,
yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I feel like, you know, back in October, started having conversations.
This whole thing has been going on for, we've been deep in discussion with these lovely guys. Mm. And like I say, this is not a sales pitch. This is, we use the app. I would genuinely recommend you try it out, yeah. If you're an F1 fan. You can try it out for free and then upgrade yourself, which I do highly recommend. But, yeah, shout out Box Box Club. Check them out. All the links to socials are down below. We also really encourage you to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter if you want to. But Instagram and TikTok is the place to be. And what we should also say is this is going out on Box Box Club's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Right, so if you are a Racecast fan, you'll be consuming this through a different portal at this point in time. We do also have a BoxBox Clips channel. The link will be in the description down below, where if you just want to watch snippets, you absolutely can. And when I say snippets, they're longer clips than, say, what you'd get on TikTok. It will be sections of the podcast. But we encourage you to sit here and watch the whole thing.
Which is good, because rewind like what, a year ago, mm-hmm. We didn't really put out much content.
Nope. Well, we did now, a podcast a week.
We did, but we didn't really do clips. We didn't really do YouTube. But now you've got TikTok clips, tweets. We might do some tweets. We might do some.
Look, we're getting old.
You got Instagram. You got YouTube. So you've got one place for the whole podcast on video, and now you also have clips.
Shall I just say, there is a big portion of people that are listening to us right now, and we do not forget about you. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you consume your podcast, we are available every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And if you are listening to us, or you do go and listen to us on those platforms, do give us a 5-star rating, because it really does make a big difference to the podcast, and it massively helps us out. So look, that's enough of the protocol that we have to run through at the start of this episode. But yeah, we are so buzzing for 2025, not least because of this, but I think now because of the actual season, and that is what we are going to talk about now. So stick around.
For the first time in a long time, we can say welcome to Race Week, welcome to Box Box. I'm excited. There's so much excitement for this week.
It's do you know why? It's because it's not the start of an ordinary season.
No.
This is the start of a season where we've got, what, 6 rookies? We've got Lewis Hamilton racing in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
We've got a McLaren that is potentially a championship winning car, and I mean a World Drivers Championship winning car, we've potentially got three other competitors in Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, that could see a four-way battle for that title, if we're lucky. We don't know. If testing is anything to go by, then McLaren are looking a little bit sharper than everyone else. But it's a long season. And don't forget that McLaren turned it around in Miami last year. That I think we're in for a big one.
So, a new feature, keeping you up to date what is coming up on this episode. We've got our Ferrari sandbagging after testing. We've got Drive to Survive. I've watched all 10 episodes, and I have to say, it has got me even more excited for the season. We're going to talk about Cadillac. They've been announced. Mm-hmm. Who are they going to sign? We're going to be talking Lewis Hamilton. We're going to be talking Yuki Tsunoda. We're going to be looking at 2026 contracts. Some interesting facts about the FIA and how F1 used to look like compared to now. So we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be also talking about Australia, which, as I said, it's race week. I'm excited. We're going to be giving our predictions on who we think is going to win the World Championship, the Constructors' Championship. So much coming up on the episode. But yeah, as Luke said earlier, welcome along. Let's get in to some F1 news.
Yes.
Actually, before we do that, a couple of people have asked how I got on in the half marathon.
Okay, so if you're new here, and if you haven't come from Racecast and you're new, we do, you know, give you a little bit of insight into our lives every now and then. We're friends. So Matt ran a half marathon last week.
Yep.
In aid of,
so is McMillan.
McMillan, yep. Which is here in the UK a cancer charity.
It is, yeah.
And how did you do?
So I wanted a sub 2 hours. And sorry, I know we'll get onto F1 in a second. I wanted a sub 2 hours. I did it in 1:59. And
that's a sub 2 hours.
It is. I'm a bit annoyed because I think I could have probably got about 1:54, 1:55, but about kilometre 16. And if you've ever run a half marathon, do comment down below, because once I got to lap, 15, 16 kilometres in, I was mentally not in a good place. Like, I was at a point where I was like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Mm. I walked a bit just to try and get my head back in it.
Oh, you walked? You actually stopped?
Well, I was walking at a faster pace to keep going, but I mentally, I was trying to get myself back into the zone. I went too quick. That's what I did. Because there was so much going on around you, I went way too quick.
Yeah, you buy into the excitement of everything. And yeah. You
know, I was doing like 5-10 kilometers.
Did you see Reese
is outrageous.
Oh, we've got a friend that is just silly quick.
He did it in like 1:22.
He probably gets a similar time to what an F1 car gets.
Yeah. And he I suppose if you're talking about F1, he's like a Red Bull of 2023.
Yeah, he's like Max Verstappen.
And I'm more like a
Logan Sargeant?
A Logan Sargeant, yeah. I take it.
You're midfield, you're Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, I 100% take
that.
Hey,
that's not bad. No. There's nothing wrong with being a Pierre Gasly.
No, but it was a good experience. I learned a lot from it, because normally I go running on my own. So to then be surrounded by people who are cheering on the side, you know,
we're not used to people cheering us on. We're used to reading hate comments and people calling us stupid. So
if I ran with you, I would have had that.
Yeah, motivation.
But no, it was good. So thank you to those who actually did message and ask how I did get on. So back to the F1. Drive to Survive. Actually, no, before we get into Drive to Survive, Ferrari sandbagging.
Okay, right. Because I've got some opinions on Drive to Survive. So stick around, because... Yeah.
Ferrari sandbagging. There's a lot of speculation after testing that actually...
I'm not buying it.
Ferrari didn't really deliver their true pace heading into 2025 season. And we've said on the podcast in the past that actually, look, testing is a bit unpredictable. You don't really know where cars are going to be until actually probably qualifying in Australia. But do you think Ferrari are really sandbagging?
No. I think that's pure hopium, isn't it? Mm. Everyone's like, I remember when Mercedes brought the zero pods in 2022, and obviously it was like bad. And I was so like, yeah, they're sandbagging. Like, they know that basically this is such a good concept that they have to make people think that it's not that good, otherwise they might get copied or banned like instantly. And then obviously the race came and I was like, oh no, they're just crap. But I just don't think that's necessarily true. I'd love for it to be true. I think Ferrari have not got anything to be worried about. There was obviously some concerns around tyre degradation, it seems, for Ferrari. But I feel like that's a concern that they've had pretty much since this new era of cars. Ferrari have always been quick over one lap. It's race pace where sometimes they're great. Like, don't get me wrong, they've been a lot more consistent than other teams. But we have seen the degradation issues at some of the tracks, and that's not exclusive to Ferrari. Mercedes have had the same issue where they certainly couldn't fire their tyres up at a lot of places for whatever reason.
But Mercedes seem to get on top of their degradation towards the end of testing, from what reports are saying.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but where does it benefit a team to not test the car to the full potential? To use those 3 full days, which is like, what, 24 hours essentially, of driving round a track, collecting data. I don't see in which world where a team is so confident in their concept that they're like, oh, we won't run like the true spec. We don't need any data on this. We'll just run a crap one just to like try and get in our opponent's head.
You would have to be really confident in your car.
You'd have to be so unbelievably confident. Mm. And that doesn't mean...
Do you think that's what Sauber did? They're so confident. They're just like, yeah. Or Aston Martin.
No, they are actually. They were sandbagging for sure. I'm not saying that teams turn up and show every single card in their hand, right? They will bring different things. Teams will bring upgrades to Bahrain. The cars are not going to be exactly the same, but sandbagging to that extent, I also think they look relatively quick, and it's only when you really dive into the data, not us, by the way, we are not data nerds, but when you see, like, the clever folk on Twitter really break it all down for you, that's when you're like, actually, like, they do have some issues. Because at face value, Ferrari looked like they had a very good testing. You know, if you don't read into all this stuff and you don't really listen to what everyone's saying and you looked at the timesheets, you'd be like, wow, Ferrari are great. You'd probably think, oh, McLaren aren't looking too clever.
But it was interesting because we came out of testing going, actually, Ferrari looked probably the fourth best car out of... You know,
I'm not sure I felt that.
Didn't you? I mean,
I think Ferrari look like they're a lot closer with Mercedes than they are to McLaren. But
McLaren seem to be the, you know, at this moment in time, leaps and bounds ahead of anyone else.
Well, because there are rumours suggesting that they're anywhere from like 0.3 to a second a lap quicker.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not buying into the fact that they're a second a lap quicker. I think this is a big claim, right? Big statement. If they are a second a lap quicker, they low-key have pulled off one of the greatest engineering feats in Formula One history. And I'll tell you why. We've seen gaps like that before, right? Mm. Not this far into a generation of cars?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Where 2014, Mercedes come to Bahrain, they're a second a lap quicker, right? Which is hugely impressive. But it was a new era of car where everyone's trying out different things and, you know, we typically see one team gets it better than everyone else. Still unbelievable, but a lot more like, I get how that can happen. If McLaren can go from Bahrain 2023... worst car on the grid, insane, right, to 2 years later being a second ahead of the rest of the pack, give those boys knighthoods, because that is incredible. The boys and girls at the factory would have done something unthinkable.
It's very impressive,
and which is why I don't think it's going to be a second, but I do think there will be the quicker car.
No, it's going to be interesting. Obviously for us testing, you take it with a pinch of salt. You have your kind of your favourites. You kind of get your idea of where people are. But I think once we get to qualifying, I don't even think we'll really see it in practice in Australia. No. I think it's going to be qualifying where we'll really see where the cars are.
Q1.
I think at the end of the race, we'll have a better understanding who is quickest over, you know, one lap. Could that be a Ferrari? Could that be a McLaren? But actually, the McLaren's long runs in the testing looked sick.
Very impressive, especially Lando Norris.
Yeah. So if we come out of Australia and Lando Norris has had a 20-second gap, then we know we're potentially in for a very long season.
Yeah. If they are a second clear, right, it's just absurd. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're genuinely in for a great season because I think 2 or 3 tenths can be closed up.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do let us know what you think of that. Our Ferrari sandbagging. Drive to Survive. You know, when we started off doing this, when we give our opinions, people call us Drive to Survive fans. And being perfectly honest, I do like Drive to Survive. So I suppose I am a Drive to Survive fan.
The term Drive to Survive fan is thrown around as like a derogatory term to new F1 fans, which... like, who cares? Yeah. I can guarantee there are F1 fans that have followed the sport since the beginning of last season that know a truckload more than me. Mm. And you.
Not me.
It just doesn't matter. Like, people, like, why gatekeeping the sport? It doesn't matter how someone got into it or you think you know better than people. Mm. It's an opinions game. Like, you're going to hate some of our opinions, but some of them you'll love. And, you know, we always encourage you to get involved by commenting down below any of your opinions, whether you disagree, agree, or you want to bring something to our attention. So do get involved. But
let's delve in, shall we? Because
can I just say, I told you before we got on this, that Drive to Survive came out on Friday. It's now Sunday. And I spoke to a friend yesterday who was like, oh, have you watched Drive to Survive yet? I was like, oh, yeah, like 2 episodes. He's like, oh, yeah, I finished it. You must have a job. Like, what are your bosses like telling you to do? What do they think you're doing?
Well,
how many episodes are there?
10 episodes.
That's like 10 hours.
I finished it. I mean, but to be fair,
Saturday lunchtime I saw him as well.
Oh yeah, that's mad.
He doesn't wake up until like midday.
What's he doing? Crikey. Yeah, no, I mean, I've spread it over the last couple of days, but there's a few points I would like to take from this, okay?
No spoilers. I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in.
Okay, I can't promise there won't be any spoilers because I think it's important we have a discussion.
I mean, obviously, I know what happened in the season,
yep.
Given that I watched F1 last year.
So let's talk about Toto Wolff, okay? Because
I was hoping you were going to bring this up.
There's a lot of inconsistency here from Toto.
I was going to say, did you notice the same thing that I noticed?
What's that?
A month or two ago, did Toto Wolff not say, as soon as Lewis told me he was leaving, I knew who my next driver was?
And he said that was Antonelli.
It's not adding up.
No. And this is what I'm talking about here. So it's interesting because I think Toto Wolff talks about that fact that actually, no, it's in the new direction. The first choice he always had was Kimi Antonelli. That's not true. Toto, you're lying. Because in this episode, he is very much after Max Verstappen.
He was dropping some serious game on Max Verstappen.
Carlos Sainz wasn't in the picture.
No.
Kimi Antonelli wasn't in the picture.
It was
all about Max Verstappen. Then all of a sudden, there was a lot of pressure from Max Verstappen going, you know, Max, what are you doing? There's a lot of uncertainty about him at Red Bull. And he then said in a press conference, no, I'll be driving for Red Bull. And then all of a sudden, Toto Wolff is a bit like, yeah, so Kimi... it's always been my number one choice.
I love you, man. I haven't told you that. You're like a brother to me.
So I think Toto, you lied there. And however, the Kimi Antonelli part when he got it was very, very special.
Great.
I liked it.
And look, this is not, it's great for Kimi.
Yeah.
He gets the opportunity. And I actually really don't think, I think after watching that episode, I'm a little bit excited to see him now. Yeah. But I like Toto, right? I'll put that out there. I think he's a great character in the sport, and I have always liked him. But he's got some mad inconsistencies in like 90% of what he says. Like, it just doesn't add up. It's just like, but you said the opposite last week.
And he categorically, and if you haven't seen it, so when there's a clip where Toto Wolff, and this actually isn't even in Drive to Survive, but there's, when they announce Kimi Antonelli, there's Toto Wolff in the middle, Kimi and George either side. And Toto Wolff literally says, I only had one choice, and that was Kimi. Which, from what we've seen from Drive to Survive, is rubbish, because he was talking to Jos Verstappen. Christian Horner knew that, you know, Toto Wolff was tracking him. So, a lot of inconsistencies. But I agree with you. Kimi Antonelli to Mercedes, I'm buzzing
and,
for.
I'm
really
can
excited.
I just say, I completely understand going for Max Verstappen. Like, if I was Toto Wolff, I'd be doing the same and absolutely gunning for him.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't then come out and be like, oh, Kimi was first choice all along. It's just like, it's a flat out lie. Like, he must have known that he was being filmed the whole time.
Yeah.
As if people.
No, I never said that. There's a Netflix camera right there. Yeah. You definitely said it.
It's like, mate, we've got the receipts. So, but yeah, you know, either way, it's just quite funny. And that, I think that's where the Netflix thing is quite good, because you do see things that you don't see. And look, we all knew that there was interest in, but we hadn't seen sort of like factual confirmation of that. And we got that from Drive to Survive.
I feel like we got a lot more this year. That whole Christian Horner saga in episode one, I was not expecting.
This season so far is far more insightful than last year. Oh my God, do you remember the 2021 season one?
Yeah.
That was...
There's so many things that they could have added into that.
That was dreadful. Yeah. They really did not provide us with any... Like, the Abu Dhabi episode. They basically just showed us glorified highlights of Abu Dhabi. Like, it didn't get anything. And I appreciate that they probably weren't able to get much, because Lewis wasn't going to be like, right, guys, should we just talk about that? Like, it was obviously... And they probably have to strike the balance between, like, being like, this is corruption.
I didn't feel like, in that season, I didn't feel like I saw anything extra
that I hadn't already seen. Whereas this, I do feel like I'm...
It's been a lot. That whole Christian Horner part was fascinating. You know, he's just been cleared and all of a sudden the text messages get leaked and it's going around the paddock and getting all the opinions from the paddock. I love Christian Horner when he said, Zach Brown's a prick.
Yeah, Zach is a prick. I did find that funny. That was funny. But like, I like Zach in the sense where he's such a like, he's what we'd call a shit stirrer.
Yeah.
He stirs the pot and he really knows how to press Christian Horner's buttons. Mm. And don't get me wrong, that period of time was like huge for Christian in terms of his personal life and everything. But Zach was just pressing all the right buttons. And yeah, I think the only thing I perhaps didn't take from that episode is I wish they had pushed him a little bit harder on some of the questions.
It seemed brutal for him. And, regardless of whether he was guilty or not guilty, whatever, you know, having to come out in front of those cameras and have to constantly have those questions asked.
I'm not being funny, right? It's one thing to... And like I say, we still don't truly know what's going on. So, like, we're not making any accusations here. This is just... Obviously, we're talking about what has been put out there publicly. Yeah. And obviously, the allegation was essentially that he was having an affair. Mm. So that, I imagine, is an incredibly difficult thing to face anyway. But then to have everything revealed to the public when you're in the public eye and you're such a big figure in F1. And it's not only like it's been revealed like, oh, he has been doing this. Text messages, personal private text messages being shared. Oh, yeah, like, crazy. But, yeah, that was a great episode. The George Russell episode, not being funny, if I was George Russell, probably be a little bit pissed off with it.
Why is that?
Because everyone's just there like, oh, yeah, George is a bottle job. Yeah, George can't win anything under pressure. Oh, yeah, no, George cracks under pressure. It's like, I feel like, bloody hell, guys. Like,
there was a clip, wasn't
there? I won two races last year.
Well, Horner said, George cracks under pressure.
He's cracked under pressure again. Mm. Is it just me that does not get this from George Russell? So, because we've had this debate before.
Yeah,
I do not believe George Russell is as big a bottle job as what people make out.
But it was interesting because I thought about this and I went back to our discussion which we had a while ago, because I said about George, you know, he still cracks a bit, and you were like, well, how, you know, you can't keep going back to Singapore. But then all of a sudden they showed, you know, things like Canada. When he binned it into the wall in Canada, didn't he? Was it 2023 he did that, I think?
I don't know, but again, there's 2023.
No, I think there's a lot of question here for George Russell, whether Lewis Hamilton leaving, can he really step up and lead that team? And I still think there's a lot of people out there who are questioning whether he is a true leader for that team. Because,
look, right. Number one,
yeah.
You are never going to like for like replace Lewis Hamilton.
No.
Ever. Okay? Number two, I think it's unfair to call someone a bottle job on the basis that they're not a Max Verstappen or a Lewis Hamilton. And all of these drivers are human. I don't think George makes an amount of mistakes that is so bad it's like, oh my God, that's embarrassing. I think he makes a normal amount of mistakes that puts him in the category of driver of most. Like I say, in my opinion, George Russell is never going to be a Lewis Hamilton or a Max Verstappen or a Michael Schumacher. That's absolutely fine. You don't have to be those types of drivers to win championships, can I just say? Like, people have won championships not being that level of driver. They're obscene. So I absolutely think George Russell is capable of winning a world championship. The circumstances just have to be perfect for him.
Yeah, no, George, he's relatively consistent. You know, he picks up those, with a car how it was over the last few seasons, he's picked up those podiums, he's picked up those P4s, P5s. He's been consistent. I think a lot of people are just still a bit uncertain whether he can take that team forward. And that would only be shown this year, and it will be shown very quick. If it gets 4 or 5 races in and George Russell is being outperformed by Kimi, or he's being quietly, you know, he's not walking away with it, or there'll be questions answered.
Yeah, but again, that's an interesting one, because Kimi Antonelli has been brought in as this prodigy that is supposed to be like the next superstar in F1.
I agree. So, okay, so answer me this.
Is Fernando Alonso a bottle job and not fit to lead a team? Because when Lewis Hamilton came in 2007,
Alonso was already a two-time world champion.
Yeah.
The difference is, but then, George isn't. And everyone is expecting George to wipe the floor with Kimi. Well, not wipe the floor, but...
Are people expecting that? Are you at home expecting George Russell to wipe the floor with Kimi Antonelli? Because I don't think that's true. I don't think there's a huge gap between a lot of these drivers anyway.
Mm.
But what we have to remember is that, like, a tenth a lap adds up, and that is a lot. But I think George Russell should and will finish ahead of Kimi Antonelli in the driver standings.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's such a huge expectation to the point where he has to wipe the floor with him, otherwise he's not fit to lead the team, or he's, you know, incapable of being a driver that is a number one.
Well, there's always these comments, isn't there, with George, and you've seen, and he's made comments that actually, you know, Lewis came into the sport and he went head to head with, you know, a 7-time world champion, and actually 2 out of 3 seasons outperformed him. And I think we have our opinions on this, because those 3 seasons weren't your normal seasons. Season 2, actually Lewis finished P3, George ended up finishing, what, P8 or something in the championship.
And
Season 1, there was a lot of trial and error with that car. That car was awful,
yeah,
in the nicest possible way. And this year, George has picked up some wins. You know, he's actually put in some really good performances, but I wouldn't say he outperformed Lewis.
I don't think either of them looked like spectacular this year. I think they both just drove, you know, Lewis's qualifying was really poor this year. Mm. I think they both just drove relatively okay. I think we've discussed this before, that you'll never get a true comparison until you're going for a championship, because I think that's when Lewis would have eaten him alive. But that being said, George is a driver on the up and Lewis is 40 years old. So that doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm not underestimating him here, because I think he's more than capable of going on and winning another world championship, if not more, given he's got the right tools to do the job. But George has done very good against Lewis Hamilton. He's come in and he has looked like a very, very competent driver up against arguably the greatest driver of all time. And that's why I think I find it a little bit disrespectful when people... That episode was disrespectful to George Russell. It was essentially an amalgamation of loads of different big names in F1 calling George Russell a bottle job and saying that he cracks under pressure. And I, for one, just don't see that in him. Mm. He's had moments. The Singapore one was a bad one.
Yeah.
But so has every... You know, if you want to flip that, Lewis at Imola.
Yeah.
And before you start, like, giving it all this, I'm a Lewis fan, right? That's absolutely fine. But you've got to be impartial about
Lewis that, in thing. Austria in 2000 and... Was it 23, 22?
Was that when both the Mercedes...
Both the Mercedes, yeah, to be fair, yeah.
And this is what I mean. I think for some reason, George Russell's got this really high threshold that people hold against him, where it's like, if he does one thing wrong, he's a bottle job.
I think what makes it difficult for George Russell is that actually he was teammates with Lewis Hamilton. And
it's also incredibly difficult because Lewis has got such a loyal and passionate fan base.
100%. And, you know, as we said, we're Lewis fans. But actually, George Russell, you're not just driving for Mercedes, this big team. You're not only driving alongside a 7-time world champion. You've also got to try and prove it to all of those extra fans on top who will criticise you.
So that's the thing. You're also racing against those fans because those fans, if you beat Lewis, those fans are not going to like you for it. So I think he's had an incredibly tough time. And I just thought the episode was disrespectful to him. I just didn't agree with it.
I'm really hoping now that actually Lewis leaving Mercedes, this will now allow us to see the true potential of George Russell. Yeah. Because I agree with you. He's a very good driver. I personally don't think he will go on and win a championship, but I do think he has the potential to go on and compete for a championship.
If I had to put money on it, I wouldn't say before the end of George Russell's career, he's going to have a driver's championship under his belt. I'm just saying, if he falls into the circumstances where that is possible, I see him as a driver that is able to achieve it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that one. One thing which was weird, going back to Toto Wolff. So Toto Wolff promised Lewis Hamilton he would not sign Max Verstappen. I don't know whether that is actually true or not.
So what I think this is I think this is obviously... He had promised Lewis that he wouldn't speak to him to sign him while Lewis was at the team. Mm. And...
But why? Why would Lewis really not want to be teammates with Max Verstappen?
Well, I think absolutely. I mean, Max is not a very nice teammate, let's be honest. And I don't even mean that from a... I don't think it was from a performance thing. I think, look, they're going to have a really deep-rooted... Not hatred for each other, that is such a strong word, but that rivalry that Max and Lewis have is always going to exist.
Hmm.
And 2021 is always going to exist, probably a lot more in Lewis's mind than Max's due to the circumstances. Why would he want him as a teammate? And, like, I know Max fans are going to be like, oh, well, he was just scared of going out. Like, I don't really care about that opinion. Like, if you really think Lewis was scared to go head-to-head in the same car as Max Verstappen, I think you've got, like, a brain injury or something, because he literally came into the sport and went head-to-head with Fernando Alonso, who had just come off the back of 2 world championships. Like, Lewis has won since 7 world championships. He wouldn't have worried about having anyone as a teammate from a performance perspective. But from that rivalry and personality perspective, I completely get it. Whether it's true or not, who the hell knows? But it'd be a weird thing to lie about on there.
No, true. Right, Daniel Ricciardo. I don't think you've seen this clip, have you?
I have not.
No, so...
Unless it was about the one where him and Max were in an ice bath and Max said something about him touching his bumhole.
No.
That's a direct quote, might I add.
That bit was in there, but there wasn't.
Very strange conversation between the pair.
That's probably not a conversation I would bring to the podcast. But
but that could have been the part you're talking about. I just wanted clarity.
Be a bit weird. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I don't know what you've got written down.
So, Will Buxton was back in it this year. And
is he a bit annoying?
I actually find him quite amusing.
Okay, do you? Right, yeah. Well... I don't know, but that's fine. No. We're allowed opinions.
Yeah, thanks.
It's the way in which He says stuff. I don't know why.
If you finish first, you win the race.
Yeah, it's like obviously.
It's like a Michael Owen.
He is like the Michael Owen of Formula One, and I just think he says things a little bit. It's the way he says them all dramatic. I think like, mate, you're not going to win an Oscar for this. Just say it. Just you're on Drive to Survive.
Claire Williams.
I prefer him ordinarily.
Yeah.
It's only his Drive to Survive self that I don't like.
I actually find him quite funny. I actually think he makes some of the episodes.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of you probably love him as well, which is fine.
He just makes me laugh. Anyway. What was I saying?
Spit it out. So Daniel Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Drive to Survive.
Interesting. It was a really interesting part because when it got to Silverstone, there was talk that actually, you know, Perez was under pressure, whether he was going to lose his seat or not.
Well, because Daniel did the test there a little bit before, didn't he?
Yeah. That was the year before. That was the year before.
That was the year before, wasn't it?
So, but there was a lot of talk actually going into Silverstone that actually, you know, there's potentially Yuki Tsunoda, Liam Lawson, Daniel Ricciardo could take that seat. And there's a clip of Daniel Ricciardo being spoken to by Red Bull going, look, Perez is under pressure. We're potentially going to go towards you replacing him. Obviously, nothing transpired. And he actually had a very poor race again, didn't really go on. And there was a lot of speculation actually from Daniel Ricciardo. And he was really honest in it, going, maybe when I was 22, 23, I didn't have that fear. But now I'm a bit older. It's not necessarily fear. I just don't want to kill myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no... He's just like, I'm thinking about it a bit more now.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting point that Will Buxton asked, that if Daniel Ricciardo stayed at Red Bull, would he have... Will Buxton said that actually, if Daniel Ricciardo stayed at Red Bull, he would have gone on and become a world champion. I don't quite believe that, because obviously Daniel Ricciardo left in 2018.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton was still dominant at that point.
Yeah.
I can't see Daniel Ricciardo beating Lewis Hamilton over those years. And then obviously Max Verstappen being there.
Oh, I mean, 2018 was obviously, that was a Ferrari and Mercedes battle. 2019, that was when Ferrari, 2019 was when Ferrari brought the illegal fuel line or something. So I think they did win a bunch of races, but then obviously got found out and then it was all kind of down the pan for them then. 2020, that Red Bull was obviously the second quickest car, but...
Lewis was ahead.
That Mercedes was incredible.
Yeah.
And then 2021, Daniel Ricciardo does not do a better job than Max Verstappen that season, I'm sorry.
So I can't see it. Obviously, as we know, Daniel Ricciardo left in 2018, went to Renault. It went downhill from there. But it was an interesting question because I was kind of like, I was listening to it and I was like, I just can't see Daniel Ricciardo beating Lewis Hamilton's, beating the Max Verstappen's, even if he stayed at Red Bull.
Like, forget about beating Lewis Hamilton. He doesn't even beat his own teammate, Max Verstappen. And that's really not a burn to Daniel Ricciardo, because beating Max Verstappen is incredibly difficult. Yeah. So I don't really understand where that comes from. But because what? Now in 2022, when they have got a championship-winning car, is Daniel Ricciardo winning that over Max?
No.
23, is Daniel winning more races than Max?
No.
24, it just doesn't happen. No. That to me makes no sense.
No. And there was also a part in there, which you will see when you watch it. They did a private test for Liam Lawson. Mm-hmm. Max came along, drove 3 laps, and then they were basically said to Liam, go out and see what you can do.
Max just drove 3 laps.
3 laps.
I bet they were impeccable as well.
But at that point, Liam Lawson hadn't driven for 7 months. Mm. He hadn't been in an F1 car for 7 months. He ended up being 0.2 off Max Verstappen, which isn't bad.
In how many laps?
He only had 3 or 4 laps.
Okay.
So for Liam, that was basically his audition, which led into 2025. And it kind of makes it a bit more clearer why...
They went for Liam.
Yeah. So it makes more sense. And I think what's interesting for us as fans, we have our opinions. We're sitting at, you know, watching it on TV or whatever, and we can go, this is ridiculous, why are they going for Yuki and that? But actually watching this, it made things a bit more clearer for me. That actually I can see what their thinking process was.
You see things like behind the scenes that you just don't see. You just don't get to consume that F1 content ordinarily.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It was interesting. But if you have watched Drive to Survive, do let us know. Do comment down below. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
It is a great asset to the sport. And anyone that says 100%. Otherwise is...
And it's definitely
probably just someone that is like a little bit too old to understand it.
And it's definitely got me buzzing for next week.
Well,
that clip, by the way, of Flavio Briatore, you know, in the trailer going, "I control every," that is actually the right clip.
What he's speaking to?
He's speaking to him and Ocon. By the way, when you see that clip as well, those two did not like each other. Briatore couldn't wait to get rid of Ocon.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to finishing the whole thing.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Send me a message after you watched it all. And
I will. Wait, you were just saying how excited it was getting you for this week.
Yeah.
Should we touch on Australia?
We can. I've still got news.
Vote down below. What do you want to hear about? Australia or news? What are the news segments?
So, obviously, Cadillac. Coming to sport. We go through quickly.
Cadillac, thumbs up, thumbs down. 11 teams is, I personally like it.
Yeah,
I've said on this podcast 12 teams. No more.
Lewis Hamilton has no intention of retiring from F1 anytime soon. He was asked about it. He said, "I can tell you, retirement is nowhere on my radar. I could be here until I'm 50. Who knows?"
Yeah, mate. Good. Fernando's doing it. Fernando Alonso has, in my opinion, not shown a performance drop-off at all.
No.
He's been very unfortunate with the cars. Go back to 2023, the first part of that, when Aston Martin had a good car. Fernando Alonso was bang on it. Why is Lewis Hamilton going to be any different?
No.
Let's see what he does this season and then, you know, would judge him. Because you could look at last season and say, something's not right with Lewis. That qualifying was awful. Let's put him in a new team, new environment, new car, better car, hopefully. And we'll see go from there.
Yuki Tsunoda, let's quickly touch on him because obviously, as we know, he's got no seat heading into 2026. And the Honda Racing president has explained that he will not be offering Tsunoda any support in securing him a seat in 26. He said he's an experienced driver and he's on his own. I hope he makes a decision that's best for him. In that sense, I think this year is a very important season and I think next year's seat will probably be decided very quickly. So I want to see him seize the opportunity and timing and take the next step. I believe he can do that. Quite interesting.
Why wouldn't he help him?
I don't know.
I assume there's quite a good partnership there.
Well, that's what I thought. But that's why it's quite interesting when I read it, because obviously they've come out and said he's on his own. He's got to go off and find a seat. I'm pretty confident it won't be with RB next year.
I mean, like I said, there's no point in him... You're never going to win something as an RB driver. Mm. And okay, I know they've won a couple of races across the time, you know, like in Toro Rosso. And Gasly won in an AlphaTauri. But you're just not going to ever be competing like you would be in a Red Bull, a Ferrari, a McLaren. Even the other teams have much more opportunity. You know... There's a reason Gasly went to Alpine. And it wasn't necessarily because they were a better team at the time, but it's because they're a team that aren't shackled by a parent team.
Yeah.
You know, AlphaTauri or RB, VCarb, whatever they're called nowadays, are never going to be able to compete at the top because they're a byproduct of Red Bull.
Yeah.
And that's completely fine. I've also always said I have no problem with a sister team. But I would, if I was a driver for them, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want to stay here forever.
No, it'd be interesting. Lewis Hamilton, as we know, Ferrari this year. I've got a little quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be a quiz. I want to hear your view on this, okay?
But we do love a good quiz here on BoxBox. We do tend to have a new something every single week.
Creative. Races before first win with Ferrari. Obviously, as we know, Lewis Hamilton, new team this year. Mm-hmm. Kimi Raikkonen.
You're going to want me to guess this.
No. I'm going to give you the first couple. So Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso took one race.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Okay, well done. Sebastian Vettel, how long did it take him to get his first win? And how many races?
When did Seb first win? I want to say Seb won in 2016. I don't think he won in 2015.
He did win in 2015 with Ferrari. It took him two races to get his first win.
Good memory.
Schumacher. I'll just go through these quickly and then we can get on to Australia.
Michael Schumacher can't have taken too long.
Seven races it took him.
That's longer than I would anticipate.
Yeah. Rubens Barrichello, 11 races. Charles Leclerc took him 13 races. Felipe Massa, 14. Carlos Sainz, 32 races it took him to get his first win.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And can you tell me where his first win was?
Silverstone.
Yeah, 2022. So the question I have for you, Luke, how many races do you think it's going to take Lewis Hamilton to win his first race in red?
So difficult. He's going to win Australia.
Oh, that is bold. That is bold. You said it.
No, look, realistically, the McLarens are probably going to win. I can see Lewis winning at least within the first five races. But I'm not going to be able to truly answer that until I see Q1. I can re-answer that question after Q1.
I'm going to go race six.
Specifically race six.
Race six.
I'm going to be more vague and say within five.
And I can tell you that race six will be... I would help if I could work the thing. Race six will be Miami. That's what I'm going for. Lewis Hamilton will win Miami.
What, you're just hoping that they have a...
Just
like a McLaren-like turnaround.
Yeah.
Not that I think they need a turnaround, to be fair. Like, I think Ferrari are going to be very well placed. I just do think those McLarens are going to be not beatable early on.
So there we go. Do let us know how many races would it take Lewis Hamilton to win his first race with Ferrari. So let's talk about Australia, shall we?
Can I do the times for Australia?
Whoa, you want to do them?
Yeah.
What app are you using?
I'm using the... Boxbox.
Boxbox, yeah.
I'll let you do it.
No, actually, let's mix up this year. You can do it.
Okay. Well, this is great. So on Boxbox, obviously, you can use the app to look at all the schedules for the upcoming races, and you can use the widgets in order to just have them easily accessible. Like I said, like I showed you at the start, but...
It's actually a very good, because obviously I used to use the F1 website, but actually this is pretty sick.
This is so much better and it looks so much cleaner. Yeah. So, Australian GP, Albert Park Circuit. I actually drove around there 2 years ago.
I went there 15 years ago.
It's 5.278 kilometres. There is 58 laps, 14 turns, a top speed of 326.2 kilometres an hour. That might change this year. It could be even quicker this year. The race weekend. If you're in the UK, these are going to be the UK times. It's a late one, guys. Or an early one. It depends how you look at it.
I was going to say what?
Well, if
you're coming on from a night out, yeah, it's going
to
be...
Some people might not go to bed to watch this, right? So we've got the race weekend. Practice one, 1:30 a.m. On the Friday morning. Are you going to watch that?
Practice.
Yeah. I can't guarantee that I'm going to watch practice one.
I'm at work that day. I'm not getting up that early to watch it.
Practice two is at 5 a.m.
Bit more doable.
Practice three, obviously on the Saturday, is at 1:30 a.m. Now we're moving into the territory where we can't miss it and you have to wake up to watch it. Saturday morning, you've got qualifying at 5 a.m. till 6 a.m.
I'll be up.
That one's not... too bad. 5 a.m. I can live with. Alarm goes off, 5 minutes to roll out, switch TV on.
Yeah.
It's the race where I get a
realistically though, for qualifying, you could maybe get up about 5 past, 10 past, because then you'll get the end of Q1.
Yeah.
That will lead you into. So you have that buffer. You have that buffer.
The race. Brace yourselves, because this is going to be tough. It's a 4 a.m.er.
It was 6 a.m. last year.
What? Just keep it at 6 a.m.
That was doable.
I don't understand why we change it. Why have they made it 2 hours earlier?
I don't know. There's obviously reasons.
So, everyone, we will be up at 4 a.m. watching the race. Hopefully it's a good one. Do you remember we live streamed, was that 2023?
Yeah. And then they had obviously the crash at the end, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was actually better than we thought.
That we got so lucky that we did that because it was an entertaining race. Oh my God, if it was a snore fest, like last year, Australia was really bad.
I mean, you say that, okay.
It was bad.
Max Verstappen, DNF.
That was the best.
Carlos Sainz, back from appendix surgery, won the race.
Yeah, but the race was boring.
Yeah.
I came out and I made a video after it saying, these generation of cars are cooked, because you would have thought, Max Verstappen is out. Oh my God, we're going to have a race on our hands. No. Carlos Sainz just, you know, takes the position naturally. And then there's zero competition throughout. It was the same, just with a different winner. I want to see racing. Like, I want to see people going wheel to wheel.
Yeah.
I want to see aggression. I want to see overtakes. But, like, not P14 and P15. I want to see people racing for P1, P2.
That's what we want.
But, yeah.
You've asked me if I wanted to come around and watch it, didn't you?
Yeah. So I assume
we're not live streaming, are we?
No, it's too early.
I was going to say, I don't know if I can do a 4.
Like, I don't want you to talk to me when you come round.
No, no, no.
I just want us to sit in silence and watch it.
Yeah.
Like, just zero.
You on the other side of the sofa, me on the other.
Well, yeah. Hopefully, we won't be like on each other's laps.
Or cuddling.
That'd be a bit weird. But yeah, let's talk about Australia. Typically,
I got an interesting fact.
Okay, go ahead.
Australia. No Australian driver has ever finished on the podium during their home race. However, Mark Webber showed up on the podium in 2002. He finished P5 in his debut race and was given an impromptu podium ceremony.
It's a bit tragic, isn't it?
It is a bit tragic. but my question to you, can Oscar Piastri get on the podium this year?
Oscar Piastri will be the first Australian driver to ever stand on the Australian podium at an F1 Grand Prix.
I hope so. Your predictions for this weekend, because we are very much in this unknown at this moment in time. We don't really know who's going to be. Okay, we know McLaren are going to be strong, but other than that, we don't really know what the other car is going
to
be like.
It's such a tough thing to predict, and I make a lot of silly predictions.
Yeah, and if you're new here, Luke will put Lewis Hamilton P1 every single week, and he's done that. Even when Max Verstappen dominated 2023, his prediction was Lewis Hamilton. They've apparently got upgrades this weekend. Lewis Hamilton is going to win it.
I got sucked into the Reddit wormhole every week, and someone was like, oh yeah, I spoke to my mate who knows someone who works at Brackley, and they've got something big coming. I'd be like, yes. So,
and then Lewis finished like P9 or something.
Oh, and it was just the same. If anything, like, they did bring upgrades, and I was like, fucking hell, this source, he knows what he's talking about. Made the car worse. Went backwards. Lewis is not going to win this weekend. I'd love for him to, but that being said, I genuinely would just love for us to have a race on our hands. To, you know, as a Lewis fan, I'm always going to want Lewis to win. As an F1 fan, I always just want a race. And if that's between Leclerc, Verstappen and Fernando Alonso for whatever reason, I don't know, unless he's pushing the car himself, he's not going to be up there. I just want to see a race. I don't think we're going to get that this weekend. I think we're going to see a Lando win, an Oscar P2. I would love for even those two to go head-to-head. Do you know what I mean? If the McLaren is clear, fine, but please at least give us a battle between the pair of them.
Yeah.
None of this papaya rules or whatever. Just let the boys race until it makes sense to pick one. So yeah, Lando, Oscar, Lewis. I don't think that's unfair, because I do think the... I'm not going to sit here and say that I think Charles Leclerc is a stronger driver than Lewis Hamilton, because I don't. I fully appreciate at this point in time it can be contested, and there's very good arguments for both. But I think Lewis is going to hit the ground running in that team, and I do believe the Ferrari is the second quickest car.
Yeah. My top three for this weekend, Oscar Piastri is going to win it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Oscar Piastri. Look,
what is this Lando hate?
It's not Lando hate. I have stuck by what I've said. Oscar Piastri, I truly believe this year, will outperform Lando Norris.
You said that last year as well.
But I believe it.
And I think you might have said it the year before.
Yeah, no, but if I continue saying it, one year it will happen. It may even be when Lando Norris retires and Oscar Piastri is still in. Then
you
I can
saying
say,
this is as bad as me saying that Lewis is going to win the race in 2023 every week.
No, that's not even... It's not even the same comparison. Oscar Piastri is a very, very good driver. And I do believe he's getting better and better. So, Oscar Piastri will win the Australian Grand Prix. Lando Norris P2. And I'm going to go... Charles Leclerc P3.
Interesting.
I want to say Lewis Hamilton. I'm a Lewis fan. I want to say Lewis. I would love to see Lewis win. But I think it's between Lewis and Charles, one of the Ferraris for P3.
So this is a bit of a different one. Who finishes ahead of who? Max Verstappen, George Russell. You don't have to give me position, but who finishes ahead?
Max.
You think Max finishes ahead of George this week?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to be a little... We're going to have this question every single race week.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily going to be the two of them. We'll pick two drivers who are very, in theory, close at this point in time. The idea is that we think the Mercedes and the Red Bull are close. Mm. You think Max Verstappen is going to finish ahead of George Russell?
Yeah. Max Verstappen isn't confident in this Red Bull this weekend, but Max Verstappen is in the car. So when Max Verstappen is in that Red Bull, I have full confidence he may not win it, but he will get everything out of that car.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because all the while you've got Max in the car, it's like, even though, all the rumours are, Red Bull, not bad, but not great. If I saw Max firstly win the race, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If I saw Max on the podium, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. He is a driver that just makes you feel like, anything's possible.
Yeah. Do let us know who is top three for this weekend. And
who is finishing ahead of who? Max Verstappen or George Russell?
Interesting. Let's quickly... our predictions for this year. Because initially we were going to write it down and we're going to open it up at the end of the season, but I didn't.
We've got the risk. It's all being filmed. We'll clip this.
Okay. So our predictions for 2025. Who is your 2025 world champion? Drivers world champion. See, I've seen a lot of people come out and actually say, Max Verstappen will still win it and all of this stuff. I'm not so sure that Red Bull will be as good.
Again, it's also something that if he did, it wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Because he's so good. Part of me, right? Okay, look, the rational side of my brain says Lando Norris. I think Lando Norris is going to be a world champion.
Mm.
The fantasizer inside of me says... It's written in the stars for Lewis to win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not through like... It's not like a crazy delusion thing where I think like, it's Lewis Hamilton, like he can do it. It's just that thing of like... Wouldn't it be such a like story of Lewis Hamilton makes this change to Ferrari? And it's just Lewis always making the right decisions in his career at the right time. And he wins an eighth world championship... there's just something about it that I think, like, with Ferrari as well.
I think whether you're a Lewis fan, a Ferrari fan, or just an F1 fan, Lewis Hamilton winning an eighth world title and winning it with Ferrari...
Would be iconic.
Would be phenomenal for the sport.
Yeah.
And I'm a Lewis fan, and obviously I would love it, but I am also... appreciate, taking me out of being a Lewis fan, I appreciate that actually we have someone who's actually got the most world championships. You know, he's made this move to Ferrari. Only three teams he's gone to and he's won a championship with every single one of them.
Yeah.
And he's doing it at the age of 40.
And that's what I mean. It's a fairy tale.
Yeah, it'd be phenomenal.
And but that's why I do have a rational side inside me that says, well, look, Lando Norris was... he was unbelievable last season, but he was also not as clinical as he needed to be.
No.
Right. Lando Norris, in my opinion, had every chance to win that world championship last year. That's a contentious point. A lot of people disagree with me when I say stuff like that. It's absolutely fine. For me, the evidence is smacking you in the face every time you rewatch last season.
And I think Lando was very honest in the sense of he mucked up many of his races.
He knew that. There's absolutely no way Lando, throughout that whole season, was like, I can't win the championship. I'm telling you, he was looking at that. He was looking at his car, looking at the points table, looking at how that Red Bull was developing, and he was saying to himself every day, I can win the world championship.
An interesting point though, when you watch Drive to Survive in the Brazil, where he got on pole position, Verstappen was starting P17. There was a clip beforehand in the driver's parade where George was like, basically like, oh, well, we started writing the title, you know, writing on the trophy, your name already. And Lando was laughing, getting a bit cocky. And he bottled it.
Yeah,
for many reasons. Max drove a phenomenal race that day.
Yeah, I mean, that was ridiculous, that drive. Yeah.
But, you know, Lando ended up finishing, what, P7?
Yeah, no, no. I mean, that was calamitous, that race. Yeah. But let's not forget, it wasn't just down to that race.
There's many races.
There was too many instances where, in particular, where he lost P1 off the line. And maybe it would have looked completely different in some of those races had he have been able to hold it from the start.
Yeah.
We don't know. But yeah, I've said this before, Lando is going to be in a much better position to go and challenge for a championship this year. He's also going to have the car. I don't think he's going to have Max Verstappen on his ass the whole time. So I think that's also like, whoa, that's a nice breather. And I think he's better placed than Oscar Piastri to win a world championship. So, yeah. Look, my sensible decision is Lando Norris will win a world championship this year. Incredibly, because if I could not have imagined myself saying that at the start of last season.
No, fair play, fair play. I get your point with Lando, I do. I think when you look at it, I'm expecting him that he's learned a lot from last year. Do I think that he will be able to eradicate those type of issues that he, you know, he had this year? And, you know, I'm not so sure. But I think he's best placed. Do I think he will go on and win the title? No.
Bold.
I don't.
So who does?
So...
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it. I'm very similar to you. Part of me wants to say Lewis Hamilton. All right. Oscar Piastri is going to win the world championship this year.
Oh my God, guys. Give us a break.
It's happening.
It's not happening.
It's happening.
Oscar Piastri is not going to win the championship this season.
He is.
If McLaren have a car that is going to win a world championship, it is Lando Norris that will be winning it.
That's your opinion. I'm allowed my opinion. Oscar Piastri is going to win the world championship.
At this point, it's a fact.
Okay, fair enough. Do let us know. But the other hand of me, I want to see Lewis Hamilton win the world title. And actually, if I'm sticking to what I have said in previous episodes, I've said Lewis Hamilton will win the 2025.
You have said Lewis will win the championship.
Yeah. Lewis or Oscar, one of those will be winning the world championship. Who will be winning the 2025 Constructors' Championship?
McLaren. Again, it's an easy one, but look, everything that we saw last season, everything that we saw in testing, obviously they won last season, but there's nothing at this point to suggest that they won't go on and win it. But is that the easy... Oh, no, Ferrari.
Oh, no, don't take my answer.
Ferrari are going to win the Constructors' Championship.
You went with McLaren.
No.
I'm going with Ferrari.
Ferrari are going to win the Constructors' Championship.
For me, it is going to be Ferrari. Ferrari have come really close the last few couple of seasons. They finished those P2s.
An incredibly strong team.
Yes. Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, very, very strong partnership. Don't get me wrong, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc was a very strong partnership.
Yeah.
But this partnership, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, Fred Vasseur at the helm, look, it's there. They will win the world. They will win the Constructors' Championship this year. They'll be bringing it back for the Tifosi.
That's no down
there
below. I've got one for you.
Okay.
Who's finishing last in the championship? Driver.
Ooh. Ooh. That's a tough one.
It is.
Because realistically, you could say Sauber, with how bad they are. You could actually even say at this moment in time, Aston Martin, someone... Are you talking about constructors or drivers?
I'm talking about driver. Okay. But you have to look at the constructor in order to be able to come to that decision.
Lance Stroll.
You think Lance Stroll?
No,
That's entirely possible.
It is. I'm only thinking of how bad the Aston Martin looked in testing. If it is actually that bad, Alonso will pick up those points. Lance Stroll will just park it some weeks and go, do you know what? I can't be asked.
I don't think Stroll's that bad of a shout.
Yeah, Lance Stroll.
You're going to hate mine.
Who would you go for? I'm just trying to think what idiotic answer you're going to give.
Ollie Bearman.
Or do you know what? That isn't a bad shout.
I think number one, I'm not entirely convinced by the Haas. I'm also like, you know, honestly, I've sat here and said I'm not entirely convinced by Ollie Bearman.
Yep.
There's no fibre inside my body that doesn't want him to do well. I want nothing more for him to just come out and me be like, I was wrong. Like, you know, he smashed it. I'm just not entirely convinced at this point. And I think if that car is really poor, there's a chance that he could end up with no points. But I think you also have to look at the state team. Like, you could also look at Bortoleto and Hülkenberg, but I can't imagine Hülkenberg walking away with no points this season.
Just rewinding it a second, going back to Bearman, I still would put money on Bearman picking up points more than Lance Stroll, simply because Bearman did pick up points in that Haas in Baku. He obviously did get some points in that Ferrari, and I know what you say about being in the second best car or whatever. But it could even be someone like Bortoleto, because if that stake team is that bad, there's a possibility. I think Hülkenberg will pick up points.
Hülkenberg is a very experienced driver, and Bortoleto, like, he was electric in F2 last year. It was quality, but
again, we don't know how he's going to transpire.
He's a rookie
into F1.
Coming into F1, and, you know, unfortunately, to some extent, he's pulled a short straw. But I think he's become part of a really exciting project, which from next year is going to be quality. But he's got to come into this year with a team that is really, really poor.
There's one driver who I would have said, but I think he'd be long gone before the end of the season. Jack Doohan.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you that convinced he'll be gone?
I'm pretty convinced he'll be gone, because Flavio Briatore, I'm even more convinced after watching Drive to Survive, in the sense of how brutal he is. If you're not performing, you're gone. And you could even just do two or three races. If you have three shocking races, you're gone. And if you've got Colapinto in the wings waiting, it's not going to be long for that. But yeah, first driver to finish last. If Aston Martin are as bad as what we think they're going to be, it could well be Stroll.
Yeah, I actually think Stroll's really not a bad shout.
Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Who, I mean, this is going to be a very, very easy one to answer, but Who's the first driver to be axed?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it. I think what's the point in bringing him in if you're just going to hang him out to dry instantly? Mm. But yeah, I think it's more a question of how many races do I give him? Mm. And I think it's 6 or 7. And we'll see Colapinto behind the wheel.
Okay,
I'm not getting into a fight with Colapinto fans again. I'm not. We're friends now. We sorted it out. Look, I would love to see Colapinto in the sport.
For us, that's a bit of an easy one. Who do you think the other driver would be? I have a bit of a controversial one here. There is a potential, and because I'm still unsure how this driver is going to do, Isaac Hadjar.
Really?
Because
I was going to say Liam Lawson.
No, I think Liam Lawson will do it. I think he would do okay.
But he's
probably, he'll do better than Sergio Perez.
He's arguably the driver that is most at risk given the nature of Red Bull. Historically, I don't know what Sergio Perez had on them. But
yeah, but you've got to remember, if this Red Bull isn't that great, they will allow Liam Lawson just to get this season out of the way heading into 2026. Yeah,
but if Max is doing well, then there's no excuse.
No.
You can't just say, oh, well, I'm not Max Verstappen, so therefore, you know, you can expect this from me.
Mm. No, fair point.
Isaac Hadjar is a rogue one. I can't see... I just think he's a nifty little driver.
I think the simple fact is actually, if you're looking back at the last, three seasons, RB have changed their driver every year.
I mean, based on what you're telling me about Briatore, it could be Gasly.
Gasly's safe. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. So, shall we do some fan questions?
Yeah. Every week, before we film an episode, we post on Instagram. You can follow us at BoxBoxClub. And we get your guys' questions, opinions, whatever. Any fan interaction, we get you involved. And then we dive into them at the end of every episode. So let's go.
So Drew_Kuma has asked, do you plan on making a fantasy league for the new season?
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought this up. Because yes, we absolutely do. But at this point in time, you can't do it. F1 haven't released it yet. So that's another reason to follow us, because we will announce it there as soon as we've created it. You'll be able to join. And yeah, we get some good numbers in. Mm. And we will sort out a prize for the winner of the whole thing. I don't know what it'll be yet, but it'll be something F1 related and cool.
Harry.self has asked, which circuit do you think will provide the race of the season?
Do you know what? That's a great question. And I was actually thinking of that when we were just doing our 2025 thing. Race of the season. Silverstone.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, come on. It's normally always race of the season. It is. Silverstone or Interlagos, like...
Yeah. I would fear more to Brazil, because Brazil seems to always deliver. And I know you could argue so does Silverstone.
Look at Silverstone this year.
Yeah.
Silverstone the year before.
Yeah.
That's when the McLarens, when they had the chrome livery, they were good. 2022 was a great year.
2021. It's a fantastic year. High five that one.
Even 2020.
Yep.
You know, Lewis has the blown tyre towards the end, but we've had some iconic races at Silverstone.
But I would just like another Brazil type from last year.
That was
all
crazy.
All day, qualifying, race, beautiful.
It was nice.
I would love that. Paige NFFC has asked, who's your favourite driver? Well, both of us, and if you're new to this, we'll know that we are Lewis Hamilton fans.
But can I just say, before you get upset about that, we are, in my opinion, the most impartial Lewis Hamilton fans ever.
Hmm.
Like, he received a lot of criticism from us last year.
Yep.
I think the driver we have praised the most on the whole podcast is Max Verstappen, who is the best driver in the world at this point in time.
100%.
So, do not fear. We never sit here with Lewis tinted shades until it comes to me when I predict like who's going to win the race and I just say Lewis every week. That's just because it's funny.
R Roxbury 05 has said, who do you think will overperform and underperform expectations this season? Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a great question. I think overperform.
Yep.
Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout.
Because, look, at the end of the day, he's a rookie coming into the sport. I think we're going to look at him and be like, wow, he's actually good. Underperform? Underperform, I'm going to say... I don't know. Who do you think? Who do you think is going to overperform?
Kimmy's a good shout. I think Lawson could
really
overperform with what we think he's going to do.
I think that would be really interesting. Mm.
I think there's obviously something about Lawson that they want to keep around. They didn't want to get rid of him from RB. Mm-hmm. They wanted to keep him around. They wanted to get him into a seat. And Christian Horner has taken his time to really work out, because they could have got rid of Sergio mid-season. They could have brought in Yuki or Daniel Ricciardo into that. But instead, they got rid of Daniel Ricciardo, put him in the RB to see how he performs, and then really get a good gauge to see whether he would be a fit for Red Bull. And I think it was, you know, only a couple of seasons ago, we were praising him and we were saying that he deserves a seat in, and his pace is great. Yeah. He deserves a seat in F1. And now he's at a top team in Red Bull. I actually think he could be one of those drivers who overperforms of what we... Because we're expecting him to be not whitewashed from Max Verstappen, but quite a clear distance.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we're definitely expecting Max to comfortably look like the stronger driver. Mm. That doesn't mean he's always going to beat him. You know, Sergio Perez beat Max Verstappen a handful of times. But yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to see the team dynamic if Liam Lawson overperforms.
Yeah. Underperform?
It's tough, because when I think of this one, I don't want to put it to a driver that races for a team that hasn't got a good car.
Yeah.
You're going to hate this one. And I'm going to say this because I don't think he's going to compete for the world championship. Mm. Oscar Piastri. I just think, and when I say underperform, I don't think he's going to be bad. I think he's just going to look like a definitive number two this season. And that's not what Oscar Piastri has been built up to be or even brought in to be. And I think he's just going to be seen as a number two this season. And to me, that would be underperforming, because he's never been depicted as a driver that is a number two. He's always been, this is Oscar Piastri. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. Underperform for me. I mean, you could quite easily... See, I don't think Ocon will do that well at Haas.
Interesting.
Personally, but I'm not so sure how Haas will do. And I, like you said earlier...
If he loses to Ollie Bearman, that's a poor season for Ocon.
It is. There's a lot of expectation about Bortoleto. I'm not so sure he will perform in his rookie season.
And it's so harsh when he's obviously going to have like one of the worst, if not the worst, car on the grid.
I think he'll do okay. But again, but like you say, when you're looking at the top teams, it's hard, you know, because...
If you don't think Lando's going to win the world championship...
I suppose it's going to be Lando.
Surely that's an underperformer.
Yeah, okay. Lando Norris then. I'm not, and there's no, I want to make this very clear, there's no Lando hate here. And whether you think there is or there isn't, I just don't think that over a course of 24 races, Lando Norris will be consistent enough to pick up what he needs. Because Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes will get stronger throughout the year. And once that happens, Lando Norris has got to continue to deliver that, because a lot of people go, oh, Lando will learn a lot from this. Well, actually, you look at Brazil, he struggled a lot. You look at Singapore, okay, he won that race, but he almost binned it and took himself out of the race, okay?
Yeah.
There's many errors. Yes, okay, in Abu Dhabi, he did a brilliant race and he went on to win the Constructors for McLaren. But over a course of a season, I'm not so sure And if Lando goes on to win it, fantastic. But I'm not so sure Lando Norris has it in him to be consistent for a full season.
Do you guys agree?
That's just, you know, and this is a great thing. We all have our opinions. But at the same point, if Lando Norris goes on to win a championship, I'll be delighted for him. I actually generally would. Because I think
he says with gritted teeth.
No. I think anyone who can go on and win a championship deserves full credit. Because
yeah, for sure.
It is not a small feat to go on
There's
and do
There's never
that.
Been a world champion where someone's been, they don't deserve it.
No.
Max 2020.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Like, he did deserve it. That was just a horrible ending.
Okay, what we got? David Clark, top six driver championship predictions. I know we've touched on the, you know, championship. So let's go P1 to six, shall we?
Lando.
Yep.
P2. Lewis. Charles. Oscar. Max. George.
Oh, okay. Okay, for me, Oscar.
It doesn't even mean it.
No, I do. I generally do. Oscar, Lando, Lewis.
No. The story's not adding up here. Because you said Ferrari are going to win the Constructors' Championship.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So how does...
Okay. Oscar, Lewis, Lando, Charles.
Not possible.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you can finish second and fourth. And win the Constructors.
Yeah, you can.
No, because first and third would have more points, surely.
Okay.
I don't know if that's mathematical.
Okay, so... Ooh, it's put me on the spot here. All right, okay. Final one. Oscar. Lewis. Charles, Lando, Max, Antonelli.
Kimi to beat George.
Yep.
And Lawson. Where's Lawson in this? I thought he overperformed.
P8.
That sounds like a terrible performance.
Well, the Red Bull is pretty crap this year, but Red Bull, Max Verstappen just took it there. It's hard, isn't it?
He's just trying to trigger you guys.
Oscar Piastri to win the championship. Final one. Will McLaren supply a car consistent enough to challenge for the title? I mean, we've kind of touched on it.
100%. I think you cannot doubt them at all after... I mean, honestly, after the last two seasons. Mm. You know, they really turned it around in 2023. They kicked into another gear 2024. And testing, they looked really, really good.
Yeah.
Is that our first ever Box Box?
It's our first
episode.
Yeah.
Concluded.
It's done. I had a fact for you, but if you don't
want to hear it. Hit us with a fact to tie up the episode.
So, F1 has not always been 10 teams, 20 drivers. So, the largest number of entries for a full season was in 1989 when 40 cars were entered from 21 teams, two of which put forward single car entries. Can you imagine 40 cars?
It's too many.
And final one, most drivers in a season. So the season with the most drivers to be classified in races was in 1953. A whopping 76 drivers took part in the 9 races that made up the year's calendar.
Chaos.
Can you imagine?
Not worth it.
76 drivers.
So, where'd you qualify today? 76. Don't bother turning up tomorrow then, mate. Like, you're sacked. Well, what's the point? There's no point getting out of bed for that. What's the best you're going to do? Work your way up to 52nd?
It's a big achievement. Ridiculous. Yeah, but you get points all the way up to 50th. Can you imagine?
Was that the case?
No, I don't know. But can you imagine that?
Yeah, but it would be even like, imagine it was just the top three that got points.
Yeah, that would be triggering, wouldn't it? But that is the end of the podcast and our first ever Box podcast, and hopefully you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week reviewing the Australian Grand Prix, looking ahead to China.
Yeah.
God,
we are excited for the start of the season.
I'm buzzing. But check us out on all social media because we will be active. There'll be clips daily and so much more to come this year. So we're really excited to be collaborating with Box Club. do check us out. Do check out all the social media. Links are all in the description if you're watching on YouTube. And we shall see you next week for a brand new podcast. Bye-bye.